love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports, brought to you by the WBO. The World Boxing Organization.
Pedro, let me say congratulations on your long time in radio. You are your team and for your ratings, man. I was reading about that. I'm very impressed with you, Pedro.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another, but I'm going to get the job done.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the coronavirus studio somewhere in Northern California. Who am I kidding? This is coming to you from my bedroom. Everybody's broadcasting from their house. Thank God I don't have to do the Twitch TV thing, because I mean, I have to clean up the house and put everything in order and that kind of good stuff. But straight up, we're doing just audio. Of course, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, the Dan Patrick Channel, and of course, now on SB Nation. Now, who am I? Oh, this is Big Mouth. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm an award-winning writer, four-time Golden Glove champion, so I know a little bit about boxing, per se. And that's what we'll be talking about in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide Boxing. And we'll be focusing on Nicaragua's biggest star. No, I'm not talking about Ricardo Lopez. I'm talking about Mr. Alexis Arguello, the El Explosivo Flaco. That's what, the explosive thin man. I'm starting to get a little emotional here. I got to keep it straight here because he and I were tight. We went through some emotional things back and forth. So I'm going to try to stay emotionally straight as I do this show. Primarily on Alexis, of course, a fighter since 1968. What a fantastic fighter he was until he retired. And of course, the comeback. We'll talk about his career. We'll talk about his life. We'll hear from him. We'll go into depth. Alexis Arguello unplugged in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You can join me on the toll free if you'd like. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7510. Or the, no commitment, guilt-free text line, which you guys are ripping on me right now. The text number, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Come to you live from my bedroom. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
This is Joanne Jenkins, CEO of AARP. As the coronavirus continues to affect us all, especially older people and those with underlying health conditions, AARP is here, actively supporting you and your community. Every day, we're providing updated information and tips from trusted sources. We're hosting weekly teletown halls with the nation's top health experts, advocating on your behalf with national and local lawmakers to help secure sufficient resources to meet people's needs, sharing tools to protect you and your family from fraud, and creating resources for family caregivers everywhere to help keep them and their loved ones safe and healthy. For more than 60 years, we've been here to educate, serve, and fight for older Americans. Today, you can count on AARP more than ever. Join us. We may be apart, but we don't have to be alone. Stay connected at aarp.org/coronavirus.
Are you a 1099 contractor, business owner, or self-employed? Then you need to hear this important message. Through the Coronavirus Relief Act, you may be entitled to an advance of up to $10,000. But if you are like most hardworking Americans, you don't have time to spend hours waiting on hold and digging through government paperwork. The good news is, you don't have to. SBA Coach has already done all the heavy lifting for you. Text SBA to 55444 and our two-minute survey will tell you if you qualify, then get you started on our simple and easy application. Funds are limited, so don't miss your chance. Text SBA to 55444 or visit sbaquick.com to get your free qualification survey. We are here to help you apply to the SBA, but we are not connected or endorsed by the federal government or SBA. Again, text SBA to 55444 or visit sbaquick.com and get in line for the funding you need.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores, the score used by 90% of top lenders for free, even if you're not a customer. Checking your score won't hurt your credit, and you can check each month for changes always for free. The Discover Credit Scorecard, free for everyone. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Wanted to bring this segment in with something smooth. Of course, Love Lamp from the Great American Soul Book. Of course, Tower of Power, 2008-2009. That did real well sales-wise. Of course, it was selling records or CDs back then. Now they're doing everything digitally, and I'm told they have a new album out outside of the soul side of town. They've got an album out after that. So they've got two new LPs out. Albums, call them what you want. Go to towerofpower.com to find out. Now, we switch gears. I take you back to August of 1999. I'm sitting in the studios at KNBR here in San Francisco, I got on the phone with a friend of mine who was in Las Vegas and said to me, you know, Alexis Arguello's in trouble. I said, what do you mean he's in trouble? He goes, I read in the newspaper, in the Nicaraguan newspaper, that he was smoking crack in this thing. I said, well, you read it in the newspaper? I said, this is a guy like, you gotta be kidding me. So he goes, no, I read it in the newspaper. So anyway, I called Alexis's house and on the radio. I called Alexis's house before the radio. And his wife said, call me back and you get an interpreter and we'll do a radio interview. I said, cool. She was a nice young girl. I guess he was about 50 years old at the time. She must have been about 36, 37, somewhere around there. A couple of kids, a boy and a girl. Anyway, so she gets on the phone with me and she tells me that Alexis Arguello, the great champion, Explosivo Flaco, of course, the explosive thin man, while that he was smoking crack out of a can. She says he's smoking out of a Coke can. And I didn't know what she meant. I mean, she said he was smoking Coke out of a Coke can. So what are you talking about? I mean, he's smoking Coke out of a Coke can. Anyway, bottom line is, she's begging for help, and all of a sudden, Alexis breaks in on the phone, and he says, Pedro? And I said, yeah, and I knew who it was. And he said, this is Alexis. I said, yeah, and he said, what's the matter with you, man? He goes, I just don't want to live anymore. I just don't want to live. So anyway, I hung up the phone. I mean, the interview was over, per se, and I was a little bit stunned by it. I didn't know what to do. I mean, here's this guy who basically sounds like he's committing suicide or wants to commit suicide on the phone here. I mean, how do I respond to that? And who am I anyway? I mean, I've only known Alexis professionally. He and I haven't been tight. You know, we haven't been doing all kinds of intimate things together. I mean, we hung out a couple times together in Canastone, New York, and went to different events together, but not like buddy type of thing. So I don't know how to react. So anyway, I'm thinking about the time that Alexis told me that Don King wanted to re-sign him to a contract, but he had a contract offer from another promoter for a lot more money. He was going to go with the other promoter until Jose Suleiman, the then president and founder of the World Boxing Council, stepped in and said, if you don't sign with Don King, we're going to strip you of the title. And, of course, this was at a point in time where those belts meant something. There was only a couple of them around, not three or four. Okay, this belt meant something to him, and it meant something to his making money. So he signed with Don King. Okay, that wasn't what he wanted to do. But I knew that he was forced to sign with Don King because of Jose Suleiman. So with Alexis being in all kinds of trouble right now, I said to myself, well, reaching out to Don's not going to work because I know what Don's going to tell me. No, in a nice way. Okay, so I'll try to reach out to Jose Suleiman, who I used to call in print Jose Silly Man. Okay, and he took it on the chin, took it well. I mean, me and him were tight until he died. I mean, we didn't agree on everything. It was sort of like one of those families where you have people that sit at the dinner table and don't agree politically. Well, me and Suleiman didn't agree on a lot of things, but he was a good guy, and I watched him do a lot of good things for good people, stuff that people don't know. Anyway, so I get Suleiman on the phone, call him in Mexico City. It's Monday morning. I was doing radio Saturday night. So it's Monday morning. I call Suleiman on the phone. I said to him, listen, you know, Alexis is in trouble. I said, he's smoking crack out of a can. And he goes, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? I said, well, maybe if you didn't make him sign with Don King, you know, he'd have had a whole lot more money in his pocket right now, and he wouldn't be in the trouble he's in right now. You know, it might be all money related. Who knows? You know, you screwed him over there, blah, 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 blah. So Suleiman's like, whoa, where's he coming from? But he knew I was coming with the truth. I was coming at him with the truth. So Suleiman says to me, after a long discussion, he said, what can I do? I said, well, you know, you can give me some money. I said, yeah, I'll go down to Nicaragua and drag his ass back to San Francisco, and we'll put him in a rehab back here. We'll rent him in a house and this kind of stuff. And I said, but I'm going to need some big money to do that. He said, well, how much money do you think you need? I said, so I'll take it off to 30 grand. He said, okay. He goes, I'll wire you $30,000 to Western Union. He goes, if you need it, it'll be there. You go down to Nicaragua, you deal with Alexis. I'll book you on a first-class trip. I said, no, Jose. Don't worry about it. I only weigh 156 pounds. You can put me on coach. No problem. Anyway, so I flew coach to Nicaragua. Alexis picks me up at the airport. I've got $30,000 waiting in Western Union and funds that I can go after to get him air travel and his family air travel and set him up with a house and that kind of good stuff in San Francisco. That's the intent because there's lots of Nicaraguans here in San Francisco. Okay, Virginia knows that. So anyway, I'm down there. He picks me up at the airport. It's sort of cool. You get picked up like by the Bruce Lee or the Muhammad Ali or the Michael Jordan of the country. I mean, what more can I say? That's what he was. So you get picked up at the airport by Alexis Arguello. And, you know, it was cool. He was talking a little bit. He was a little uptight about things. So I can see that he wasn't high per se, but he looked worn. I mean, here was one of the most handsome men I've ever met in my life, boxing or not. Okay. And he just looked like, he didn't look disheveled, just sort of didn't look really Alexis to me. So I knew that, you know, he's screwing up. So I said to him, what's up with the crack? He said, let's not talk about the crack anyway. So for about 4 or 5 days, we drove around town and we went different places, and he had a printing business where he was trying to put together a magazine or a small newspaper. And we worked on that for a little while. We went shopping in different places. And, you know, people would look at him from afar, like in the supermarket, like, whoa, that's him. That's really him. It's like, that's real. I mean, that's how he was, like, bigger than anything you could imagine in the United States. He was bigger than that and more in Nicaragua. So we travel around town and we go to stores, and he was treated like a god. There was absolutely no doubt about that, you know, but he was in bad shape, and he wasn't drinking at the time. And I said to him, I said, you want to have a drink? Oh no, I'm not drinking. He wasn't drinking. He was smoking crack instead. Back when he was drinking, we were at the International Boxing Hall of Fame, I guess 1992, 1993. And I won't mention the girl's last name, but so a girl named Kathy came up to me and said, Alexis Arguello's groping me. He's all over me, man. What are you going to do about this? Blah, blah, blah. I said, well, what am I going to do about it? He goes, yeah, you're his friend. So I went over there, and he's all sloppy and, you know, wearing a tuxedo and his tie's all disheveled and all kind of stuff. I said, hey, man, you know, come over here. Let's talk, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, Pedro, why doesn't she want to talk to me? You know, so anyways, that was Alexis the drunk. So we're here in Nicaragua. I'm probably going to have to run this a late break on this one. We're in Nicaragua. And we're there 4 or 5 days, and about the sixth or seventh day is when I've got a confrontation planned, organized. In other words, his priest is going to be there, his brother's going to be there, his best friend's going to be there, his wife is going to be there. Okay, just the important people in Alexis Arguello's life are going to confront him on this crack addiction. So we get together, We get at the house, and he's, what's that? We having a party, Pedro? We having a party? I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. He goes, well, you're going home tomorrow. I said, yeah, I'm going home tomorrow. He goes, so we're having a little party? I said, no, we're not having a little party, man. I said, this is like a wake-up call. What are you talking about? I said, you got people coming over here who want to talk to you. So one by one, the relatives and the friends arrived, the priest arrived, and everything. So we sat down for this big confrontation, and, you know, we went back and forth over this, and you can argue with an addict all you want. I mean, it, back and forth, this and that, and you can, if they're addicted, there's very little chance of them being, able to be rational, okay? And our boy wasn't rational. And I remember he ended this, like, it lasted about 75 minutes, a little bit longer than an hour. And when he got up, he slammed his fist on the table, and he said to me, I am not a goddamn junkie. I don't shoot up. Boom, and he left the house. And, of course, he would take me to the airport the next day, and, you know, I said to him, man, you screwed up there. You had a chance to go to the city and clean your eye up, blah, blah, blah. What are you going to do? He says, I'll be fine. Of course, the following New Year's Eve, he got into a car accident, and the Nicaraguan government told him either you go to rehab or you go to jail. More on Alexis Arguello after the break. You are tuned to the Mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide. 35, make that 36 plus years now. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Stay tuned, find out why. You're tuned to Ring Talk, a Sports Byline production.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice, cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Talk about being in love.
Two can say how it feels.
Well, one can wish upon a star.
Two can make a wish come true, yeah.
One can stand alone in the dark,
two
yeah.
Two can make the light shine through. It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby. Me and you. Just us two.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-338-6906, 800-338-6906. That's 800-338-6906. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down, 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is the Sunday edition. Of course, Sunday, 2 hours, beating it at 11 a.m. Pacific time. This is hour number two, of course, coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and like a thousand other internet platforms. Bottom line is, we continue with the story of the great Alexis Arguello. This clip came from CBS back about 1989.
In Nicaragua, they love their boxing. And you don't have to look far at all to find a match or two on any Saturday night. There have been lots of local heroes here at the Crenshaw Outdoor Stadium, names like Kid Pascualito, Nacho Lamelli, Tancasito Gonzalez. It is a boxing-crazed country. And if you can't make it out for a couple of beers and a long card, you can listen to the action on the local radio station. It used to be they never had much to cheer about in this Central American country, but they do now. Because this is the homeland of Alexis Arguello.
In fact, it was here in this outdoor boxing ring in central Managua where Alexis Arguello had his very first professional fight. For his work, he earned himself $40. But more importantly, he earned the respect of the Nicaraguan boxing experts who looked up into the night at that skinny little kid in the ring and said, "Finally, we have our champion."
In Miami now, training for his 80th and perhaps most important professional fight. He is in pursuit of something that has never been done before, a fourth world title. He is obsessed. There are no distractions in this broken-down neighborhood gym in Miami. No loud music to pump him up. No cheering section to massage his ego. No, this is far too serious. He talks to nobody. Conditioning is everything. A boxer's body is his weapon. Conditioning. This is a time for intensity, not levity. The laughing and joking is for outside the gym.
What a hand.
This is the Alexis Arguello fight fans don't and wouldn't pay to see. He's a nice guy. Gentle, compassionate, a family man.
The main thing is I'm going to give a good education.
Pretty good storyteller, laughs at everybody else's.
I don't tell bad jokes.
You look at him and you say to yourself, this is the guy who slam dunks professional fighters into the mat?
I know.
This guy has had 62 knockouts?
Your friends like this, who needs enemies?
This is the great and feared Alexis Arguello? Don't be fooled. This act stops at the ropes. Inside, Dr. Jekyll turns into Mr. Hyde.
I've only seen one other fighter that had this effect on his opponent. That was Joe Louis. He was so mild-mannered and so soft-spoken outside the ring.
He disarms people, but when he gets in the ring and he hits them for the first time, they cannot believe how strong he is.
They have no idea until they get hit that first shot. And no matter where it hits them, anywhere, then they know. They know. Wow, what am I in here with?
Arguello all over him. Boschetti desperately trying to stay on his feet. What a display. The referee has stopped.
After the beatings, there is always the Alexis Arguello trademark. Console the opponent. The nice guy reappears. It's been that way since he took his first title away from Ruben Olivares in 1974, and since then he's collected two more with a stunning 76-4 record. He's been around long enough to even knock out kids who idolized him when they were growing up. 76-4, three world titles. You'd think he'd be a household name. He isn't. Not yet.
I swear to God, if I'm born in America, and the American people is not that easy. You have to prove. You have to go prove, step by step, who you are. Leonard to win two titles, to have less fight than I got, is, Jesus, now with me, with 80 fight, three world titles, that's the only difference. I'm not American.
Well, last year he went into the ring with one of America's favorites, Boom Boom Mancini, who was trying to get the title his father never got when he was a fighter. In the end, Arguello almost came out the bad guy. But when it was over, fight fans across America were treated to something they seldom see.
You two guys are a credit to what it's all about. Here is the challenger, Ray Mancini. Come on in here.
Good.
That's what we're talking about.
Thank you, sir.
Ray Mancini.
I love you, father. That's the most beautiful thing you have, like I have my father. Take good care of you.
While Ray Mancini's good, father good, watched the fight at ringside, Arguello's father was at home in Nicaragua. He still lives in the same house in Managua where Alexis was born. And on a Sunday morning, there are almost always visitors, and the conversation most always is about that skinny kid who used to live here.
I can never take that part of my life away from me. Never. Not even if I want to do it.
Alexis grew up in this neighborhood, and while his father made and repaired shoes, his mother delivered them. It was here in these streets where Alexis Arguello had his first fights, the ones with no ring, bell, ref, or gloves. Not the kind of place many people are able to break out of. Those things are usually for movies, books, and Alexis Arguello.
In really life, there's only two ways you can do it. It's you're doing good or doing bad. It's nothing in between. In a movie, you can project the end. But in life, I mean, if you take good care of yourself, nothing could happen.
Gunfire is the only sound to be heard as citizens stay indoors and the general business strike continues.
While he was away fighting, something did happen. The government was overthrown in a bloody revolution, and the old neighborhood turned into a war zone.
The Nicaragua Sandinista guerrillas today savored a total victory over Anastasio Somoza.
The Sandinista government inherited was a country still trying to recover from the 1972 earthquake that killed thousands. For Arguello, this turn of events didn't fit in with his black and white world of training and conditioning. His younger brother was killed in the war, and in death became a national hero. He even had an avenue named in his honor. And the price Arguello paid? His family torn apart, never to be reunited. The gym he built for the neighborhood kids was seized by the government. And to add insult to injury, the Sandinistas outlawed professional boxing. And even worse, they named Arguello's gym for his brother, tying the Arguello name to the revolution Alexis didn't support. They took everything, seized his dream home, evicted his mother and sister at gunpoint. Arguello will not return to see what is left over, the poverty, the people waiting and watching for a better life that never came as promised. Even though he hasn't been home in 3 years, he hasn't been forgotten. In the marketplace, they still sell Alexis Arguello T-shirts with an imprint of optimism showing four crowns, not three. It is as though he never left.
He's a national hero now, but if Alexis sometime comes to Nicaragua, I can guarantee you that maybe 200,000 or 300,000 of people is going to the airport to receive him.
Quite frankly, Arguello is afraid to go home.
Just think about that 200,000 people to kill a man, just be just one. You know, the government can send somebody in the airport a good gun. And
you think that happened?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
do you worry about that up here? Do you think that they would send somebody up here?
Oh, yeah. I miss my family a lot, but, you know, just... I cannot come back to my country for the problem. You know, they want to stay there. They've been living in there for all his life, you know.
His mother tried living with Arguello in the States, but didn't like Miami, so now she sits at home with her memories.
Is it hard for you all the time because Alexis is gone?
But he is a knockout victim by the champion. champion Alexis Arguello, who has successfully defended his championship for the third time.
Well, right now, I have the respect for my country because I'm a Nicaraguan, but I have a respect for this country. And all in my life, America would be part of my history.
The Alexis Arguello story always brings us back here to Nicaragua, an embattled country still trying to get over the earthquake, still trying to get past the revolution, which produced its own political heroes and martyrs. But you have to understand, there's only been one ídolo, one idol. Alexis Arguello is their national hero. And despite the millions, the Mercedes, the yacht, all the trappings of American success, Arguello will never forget Nicaragua. In fact, he will never forget this place, the ring where he had his very first professional fight. And back then, it was a basic struggle for survival.
So there he is, working for something nobody has done before. Four titles. And in his black and white world, confident he'll get it. Pat O'Brien, CBS Sports.
I want to thank CBS Sports, of course, my man Brent Musburger for that great special on Alexis Arguello. Of course, Alexis, we are now up to 1982. That's right, 1982, just before the first Aaron Pryor fight. When we come back after the break, we'll go into depth, of course, how his life spiraled out of control after not one loss, but two losses to Aaron Pryor. Losing in the ring affected Alexis like you would not imagine. You are tuned to Ring Talk live, baby, on Sports Byline. Decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Here's a great way to save money on your prescription medications. If you take Viagra or Cialis, we can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men and women to improve their sexual performance. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get nearly 100. There's no need to pay expensive prices for Viagra or Cialis. Call now with your prescription and pay as little as $2 a pill. We offer 24/7 service and always free delivery and confidential packaging. Change your life for the better and have fun. Call Pharmacy Shop 24/7 to get generic versions of Viagra or Cialis for as little as $2 a pill, plus free discreet shipping.
800-709-4409. 800-709-4409. 800-709-4409. That's 800-709-4409.
I'm going to tell you how you can get real healthcare for as little as $6 a day. Yes, now you can get affordable healthcare for you and your family immediately and save as much as 50% off your current monthly healthcare payments. Our plans are perfect for people that are self-employed, can't afford health benefits where they work, or just want to pay less for their current healthcare. And coverage is guaranteed regardless of your medical condition. We even offer some of the new Christian faith-based health benefits. Save up to 50% on your family's health care. Make a free quick call now. There are no contracts, and we give you a 10-day money-back trial period. Call Provision Enrollment right now for your risk-free guaranteed health insurance quote starting at $6 a day.
800-472-5145. 800-472-5145. That's 800-472-5145. The TVS Television Network, for decades your home for great sports TV, is back. You can watch six TVS sports channels now streaming on WatchYour.tv. It's free and it's on the internet as well as on Roku, Android, and iPhone and iPad apps. Watch TVS Sports Network, TVS Classic Sports Network, TVS Turbo Sports Network, TVS Women's Sports Network, TVS Tavern Sports Network, and TVS Boxing Network. That's TVS Television Network. Six free channels at WatchYour.tv.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, I had to talk to my lawyer on that one.
More of the Alexis Arguello story as we continue. Of course, we're back in 1982. He's about to fight Aaron Pryor for the World Junior Welterweight Championship. Of course, Alexis stepping up from 135 pounds. Of course, he had just defended the championship and done it decisively. I mean, good Lord. I mean, some of the fights that he had at 130, 135 were just tremendous fights, no doubt about that. But he was at the top of his game, or at least he thought, stepping into this fight with Aaron Pryor. Of course, Aaron Pryor, this fight will go down November 12th, 1982. Pryor coming into the fight, 31-0. Mr. Arguello, 72-5, 60 KOs. I mean, holy cow, something's got to give you, right? Well, what gave was Alexis Arguello. He was explosive. He was thin. As I said, the explosive thin man. But Pryor was short. He was stocky. He was a guy that probably was a real lightweight, you know, 135-pounder fighting 140 pounds because nobody at 135 really wanted to fight him back in the time before Arguello, okay? So he and Arguello are going to do this at 140 pounds junior welterweight. Now, I know some of you say, what's 5 pounds? But guess what? I moved up 8 pounds and got licked like a stamp, okay? It just, size matters in two things. Once again, pornography and combat sports. And this is combat sports. So size mattered. Alexis moving up to 140 pounds. He was thin. He was tall. He had the range. He was doing well on the scorecards. I mean, these guys were going back and forth. It was a good fight, no doubt about that. And, of course, then Alexis lands his big right hand, I think, in the 13th round. I think the fight was stopped in the 14th. But he lands his big right hand in the 13th round. I mean, would have knocked down 10 men, let alone one man in Aaron Pryor, and it did nothing. It just put Pryor into another buzz. Pryor was in another world. Of course, he goes back to the corner. And the great Panama Lewis, when I say great, by great, meaning great crook, great all-around sleazeball, the greatest sleazeball maybe in the history of boxing. And boxing's had many sleazeballs. And, of course, I got to slap him, almost slapped him, the snot out of him in Philadelphia at the Mike Tyson Buster Mathis fight back in 1996, I believe. Anyway, bottom line is, but Panama Lewis has got Aaron Pryor's corner. And he says in the corner before that 14th fatal round, and 14th and fatal round for Alexis Arguello in the first fight, he says, give me that mint bottle, the special bottle, the one I mixed. Well, nobody knows what he put in that bottle. Whatever he gave to our Pryor seemed to ignite him like it was like lightning in a bottle or something like that. I kid you not. Of course, Panama Lewis at one point in time told me it was peppermint schnapps. A couple other people told me it was different things, but we really don't know what it actually was. But whatever it was, it seemed to rekindled Pryor, who came off that stool for that 14th round like it was the first round, and then, of course, punished Alexis Arguello like he had never been punished before in his life. And Alexis, having been a veteran of, I said, 77 fights coming into this fight, 60 KOs, he wasn't a queer to losing. I mean, he had lost before. He lost 5 times. Losing wasn't no big thing. The manner in which he lost his fight was a little bit troublesome for him as far as his emotional well-being was concerned because of the fact that he thought that Pryor cheated by asking for the special bottle, and it was always a rumor, it was always a suspect. I think his name was Bill Miller. That was Arguello's agent. And he always thought, he felt, he told me, and I felt the same way, that they had taken the stuffing out of Aaron Pryor's gloves that night. What am I talking about? Well, Panama Lewis, the aforementioned Panama Lewis, suspended from boxing forever because he took the padding out of Luis Resto's gloves in a fight that took place in Madison Square Garden back in 1983 with Davey, I can't remember the kid's last name. Anyway, but the bottom line is he ruined this kid. I mean, Davey, he ruined him. I mean, broke his eye, broke his facial bones, the whole nine yards because they took the stuffing out of the gloves. In other words, he was hitting him. Les Resto was throwing, you know, pure fists, pure hand wraps on a guy's face with no padding. Same thing, I think, took place in the first Arguello Pryor fight. I think that whether Aaron Pryor knew it or not, I don't know whether it was done while the gloves were on or while they were off, because I know he took the gloves off when he took the padding out of the gloves during the wrestle fight. He did it before, he did it after the gloves were given to the fighter before they were put on. Now, the Athletic Commission supervises all that because of Panama Lewis. So anyway, I thought they took the padding out of the gloves for the first Arguello prior fight. And the reason why I say that is Arguello, a veteran, as I said, the aforementioned 77 professional fights. I mean, he had never been busted up like that. I mean, he was busted up. I mean, like somebody had taken a bat, like somebody had seriously taken a bat or a billy club to him and just beat him about the face. And I'm saying to myself, you know, this is not the type of injuries usually sustained from padded gloves. It's just not. So I was always of the opinion that something was wrong with the gloves there. Bill Miller told me about a year later, I think in 1983, when they were talking about maybe doing a second time, a second rematch, which eventually did happen. But he told me that he thought the padding was on the gloves that night too. And when he asked for the gloves disappeared. So, you know, the gloves were found in the Luis Resto-Billy Collins fight, but they were never found in the Aaron Pryor-Alexis Arguello fight. Those gloves, the gloves in which Pryor knocked Arguello out in the 14th round, have never been found. So Alexis spirals into depression because he's not the strongest guy emotionally in the entire world. He's got to be soothed a lot. He's got to be patted on the back a lot. He's got to be told he's the greatest a lot. He's just one of those guys that's he feeds off attention. He feeds off positive attention from people. The negativity of losing by knockout, wow, by losing the knockout to Aaron Pryor, that was just absolutely devastating for him. So he gets himself together, and they talk about, you know, puts together a couple of fights, and he fights guys named Villamar Fernandez, who had beaten him earlier in his career. Of course, decisions him, and fights Claude Newell, who was a former, I think he was a champion for a minute, because fighting out of Trinidad. The guy quit on a body shot. I'll never forget that. Oh, he hit me on the hip. He hit him on the hip. And his Trinidad accent, I'll never forget. Of course, then there was the Aaron Pryor, the rematch in 1983. Wow, September 9th, 1983. Of course, that was in Caesars Palace, the outdoor arena on the tennis courts there in Las Vegas. It was for the WBA super lightweight title, 140-pound title. And it was a fight that, you know, we talked on the phone. Alexis and I talked on the phone. And I think Hector talked with him on the phone, too. You know, and I'm trying to pump him up, and he's trying to be positive, this and that. But you can just tell that something's vacant here. In other words, if Alexis Arguello was a 47-unit apartment building, the penthouse wasn't occupied. Something was amiss. Something was wrong. There was just something definitely wrong with him entering that second fight. Of course, and I think that he had good people in his corner. I mean, he's always had good people. He had good people throughout his career. So it wasn't a matter of bad guidance or anything like that. It was a matter of whether did he lose a fight fairly or not. This would haunt him until the end. Of course, he lost to Pryor the second time, and that was a bit of a beat down, of course, as I said, at Caesars Palace Outdoor on the tennis course. That was a knockout loss. Then he came back and fought Pat Jefferson, guy from Arizona, not too much there, fought him in Anchorage. Beat Billy Costello. That was his last big win. That was in 1986. It was February the 9th in 1986. We were up there in Reno, Nevada, home of the Mustang Ranch. That's all I can say. But Billy Costello got knocked out in that fight. Of course, that was Alexis Arguello's last big win. Billy Costello being a former champion. Arguello would fight Jorge Palomares, who had a horrible record, 8-12-1 in Miami Beach in 1994 as part of a comeback. He would win a majority decision. One judge thought it was an even. One judge didn't even think he won the fight. Come on, man. Anyway, it was even, one judge thought. But he would come back, and he would fight a guy that couldn't lick him. Listen, Scott Walker, and he passed away now, so I'm not going to say anything bad about the late Scott Walker. I think they called him the pink lady or the pink tiger, something like pink something down there in Arizona. But he was a nice guy. He was a nice kid. He fought Arguello, of course, at Arizona Charlie's in Las Vegas. And Arguello invited me down for the fight. And I thought about, you know, do I want to go? Do I want to go? And I think I found something to do so I didn't have to go. And that was what you sort of do in order to avoid going to different events. I mean, sometimes you can't go to everything, and sometimes there are emotional reasons you don't want to go. I didn't want to go this one because I didn't think Arguello should be fighting anymore. I didn't want to seem supportive of him. I didn't want to seem like an asshole and say, you know, you shouldn't be fighting, you shouldn't be fighting. I didn't want to say that, you know, because this is my buddy. And I said to him, I would say things like this to him, are you sure you want to fight? You know, it's been like, you know, 83, like 90, 86 and 95, like 7, 8, 9, that's almost a decade, man. really want to come, oh, I still got the discipline, Pedro, I can do it, blah, 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 blah. We didn't have the discipline, or you had the discipline, but you didn't have the reflex, didn't have the youth, you just didn't have it, okay? Losing to Scott Walker, that was the unanimous decision loss, and that was the end. That came in 1995. So after that, he sort of floundered around, got hooked up on, again, on crack cocaine. Of course, he and Aaron Pryor, it was funny, both those guys would have those two, that one epic fight, and of course the second fight was a bit of a rout, but had that epic first fight, both those guys would end up smoking crack together in Miami. Imagine that. I mean, come on, I mean, stranger stories have been told, but imagine, Alexis, the straightest guy you could ever imagine, he didn't do blow or any of that kind of good stuff. He used to drink, he wouldn't smoke weed, he would drink, and that was it. All he did was drink. All of a sudden, boom, he's doing cocaine, snorting cocaine, smoking cocaine. The whole night, I was like, whoa, blown away by it, because he never did any of that stuff around me. And I thought that, you know, the places where we were with girls and things like that, that if it was going to happen, it would have happened then. He didn't let it happen. So the bottom line is, Arguello never did any hard drugs around me, but hard drugs were about his life, of course. And then, as I said, we went down there and tried to straighten him out in 1999, and he said, you know, I don't want to be straightened out. I'm not a junkie, so why don't you just leave me alone, go back to San Francisco and do your thing. I said, okay. I said, what about, so we've got this rehab money for you, and he didn't believe me. So I took him down to Western Union. I said, can you punch up Pedro Fernandez, please? Can you punch up Pedro Fernandez? He said, you have a $30,000 balance here. Do you want to pick up the money now? Do you want it in cash? Blah, blah, blah. We can give it to you in Nicaraguan money. And I said, no, no, I don't want the money. But this proved to Arguello that, you know, that Jose Suleiman, had put up the money, and he was serious about trying to get Arguello clean, trying to get Arguello good. Of course, that car accident where the Nicaraguan government came in the New Year's Eve 1999-2000, of course, they said he had to go to rehab or he'd go to jail. He went to rehab. He turned his life around. And I guess about 2002, we're at the International Boxing Hall of Fame, and Tim Smith of the New York Daily News, a boxing writer there, says to Alexis, is this the man that saved your life? Is this the man that saved your life? He said it twice, and I forget. And it was awkward. It was awkward for him to ask that. And, you know, to meet him and Alexis, it was awkward for him to say, is this the man that saved your life? It was a little awkward for him to ask that in front of me. And I felt a little bit funny. He said, yes, he did. And I was like, well, I was speechless. I got a big mouth. I could say things forever. But I was speechless at that point in time. He goes, yes, he did. He helped save my life. So, of course, Alexis, that was 1999. 2001, 2002, we're seeing each other at different boxing conventions, 2003, 2004, everything's cool. Last time I talked to him was in, I guess, about May of 2009, and everything was rock and roll, and he was the mayor of Managua, Nicaragua. He was thinking about, I said, you're going to run for president, maybe, blah, 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 things like that. So, and then, of course, then come July 1st, 2009, and I get the call on the phone that Alexis is dead. And I said, Alexis who? And the person said, Alexis Arguello. I said, no, no, this ain't right. What's wrong? He goes, Pedro, man, he either shot himself or he's been killed. I mean, what do you mean either? What do you mean either and or? It's not, that's not the, that's, I mean, either somebody killed you or you killed yourself. It's one or the other. It's not and or. Okay. We said they didn't know. I said, what do you mean they don't know? What do you mean they don't know? Come on, man. You know, he goes, well, the gun was found there. I said, yeah. I said, did he shoot himself in the head? He said, no, he shot himself in the chest. I said, so he shot himself in the chest with a gun? He goes, yeah, he goes, and it was a big handgun, this and that, or a semi-little rifle. I said, what are you talking about, man? Can you get me a picture of the gun? No, I couldn't get you a picture of the gun. Anyway, the bottom line is, Arguello either died in his own hands or somebody killed him. But at that point in time, with the power structure being it was in the Managua, and that is the capital of Nicaragua, he was gunning for the presidency. Those corrupt people down there, well, guess what? They were not going to let it happen. July 1st, 2009, I think the great Alexis Arguello was murdered. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Of course, SB Nation as well. We'll be back after the break.
We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now. 877-360-0402. 877-360-0402. 877-360-0402. That's 877-360-0402.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family, or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-7851. 800-439-7851. 800-439-7851. 800-439-7851.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let Ricky do his thing here.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stars.
Great Rick Nelson would have turned 8 years old on May the 8th, born May 8th, 1940, man. Died New Year's Eve, 1985 in a plane crash. Actually, the plane caught on fire. Straight up, he was a cool dude. He really was. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And I've been to 34 countries, so I guess travel man sort of applies there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 34, make that 35, make that 36 plus years now. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. Back to the Alexis Arguello hour here, of course. It was incredibly sad when he died. And, you know, we were going to go back to Nicaragua about a year and a half ago. I was supposed to go back there, and they had all this civil unrest in this, and they canceled my trip to Alexis' hometown. I'm talking about Managua once again. I was going to go down there, spend some time with his wife and his kids and things like that, and try to figure out what really happened. But from what I can determine, he was depressed. He was always talking about possibly killing himself and things like that. But the people that I've known, and being a former policeman, that tend to talk about suicide most usually aren't the people that kill themselves. They really aren't. And the fact that he was being groomed to be possibly president and he had a liberal mind as far as his political views were concerned, I just think that some of the conservative people down there and the people of the Sandinistas and people like that weren't taking kindly to that. The bottom line was, Alexis had to be taken out, and he was taken out, as I said, in 2009. At least that's my belief. But, I can't tell you the emotional bond that there was there when I left that airport. And, of course, in 1999, of course, 9 years later, I thought he was together, and all of a sudden, boom, he's dead. 2 months later, after talking to him on the phone, he's dead. We don't know whether he killed himself or whether he was shot. I'm going with the murderer scene. This is the way I feel. Too much political pressure on him down there. They had to take him out. Well, I thank you so much for listening to this special edition of Ring Talk Live, worldwide, of course, coming to you on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. You could be doing a million things right now. The fact you're listening to Ring Talk Live worldwide, guess what? My name is Pedro Fernandez, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. This is Ring Talk Live worldwide. Make that 36 years now of being often imitated, but never duplicated. 'Cause I love you so.